Things are heating up in the college lacrosse world as we head to rivalry weekend and conference tournament weekend one. And we're without Safe again because he had a last-minute work-related matter, but we're still going ahead. Keep on trucking. I'm Ryan McDonald.
Hey, everybody. I am Chris Jastrzemski.
I'm Jake Nazar.
And if you liked us three the past 2 weeks, too bad, because you're still with us on College Crosscast. College Crosscast. Tonight we're going to talk about the ACC and the Patriot League tournaments. We're going to preview Hopkins, Maryland, and we'll fill you in on the conference tournament races. And there's not really that much to go between in the big ones because the ACC is obviously this weekend. The Big East is locked with the four. The Ivy League's locked up with the four. But we'll still have a fun time. How's everything going, guys?
Everything's well. I leave tomorrow for Durham for ACCs.
It's good. Don't let Safe fool you. He just saw the ratings with me were way higher than with him and made the executive decision that he needed a big money draw on the podcast once again.
Yeah, it works out best of both worlds for Safe. He gets to run the site without having to come on with us anymore. So, given that it's us three, we are going to have one last shot at redemption for our Stanley Cup playoff picks. Because all three of us picked Caps Blackhawks, and the Blackhawks scored all three goals in these playoffs. So, we got one last chance to redeem. Second round onward picks. Go ahead. No analysis needed. We're just going to run this all quick to save the embarrassment.
Nashville over St. Louis in five, or six, I'll go six. Edmonton over Anaheim in six, Ottawa over New York in seven, and Washington over Pittsburgh in six.
All right, St. Louis over Nashville in six, Edmonton over Anaheim in six, the Rangers over the Senators in seven, Penguins over Capitals in six.
I'm going Predators in five, Oilers in six, Rangers in six, they'll win at least three games by a 2-1 margin, and Capitals by skin of their teeth in seven. And that is our NHL picks to try and redeem ourselves for the complete massacre of the past two times we tried to make picks.
Are we just going to do the second round, or are we going to go all the way?
No, we don't go all the way.
Yeah, I think we should just sit with this to make ourselves look better.
Well, yes, let's just, you know, we don't need
good.
To.
Good. On to lacrosse.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. On to lacrosse. So we had another big slate of games. A lot was decided this week. We know the four teams in the Big East tournament. We know the exact order of the Ivy League. And we have almost the exact order of the Big Ten as well. Yeah, we have the exact order in the Big... Not the exact order of the Big Ten, but we know the four in the Big Ten as well.
Yep.
So... Sorry if you're looking forward to this weekend being in and out teams because the Big East, Big Ten, and Ivy are all locked up. Go find your fun. And the NEC is also locked up with their four. So the MAAC, the Colonial, and SoCon are your only sources of entertainment this weekend. We
pretty
apologize
much.
In advance.
Well, and the
American East.
And the greatest rivalry in the sport this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that, but in terms of conference races...
Well, not the in.
Well, yeah. I know seeding. Seeding wise,
Big Ten could shake up. Yeah.
Seeding wise, but teams involved wise,
yeah.
Just the America East, the NAAC,
Bit Steelers,
and the SoCon.
Not having a great year so far.
Mm-hmm.
We move on to last week's games. Important one in the America East last Wednesday: Albany 10, Binghamton 4 in the I-88 Derby. More on Binghamton to come in a little bit. Friday night was the last night of the Patriot League regular season. Loyola got home field advantage for the Patriot League tournament and the one seed by knocking out Army 14-6. Elsewhere, BU beat Holy Cross 12-11 in overtime to get the three seed in the home game, which ended up being important, as we'll allude to a little bit later when we talk about the tournaments.
And
Colgate at 11, Lafayette 6 in a game that was mainly consolation. Lehigh kicked Bucknell out of the Patriot League tournament with a 9-6 victory there. In the MAAC, Monmouth holds on to the top spot in the conference, 11-6 over Canisius there. Siena over Quinnipiac 10-8. And also in the America East, Stony Brook 12, UMass Lowell 11. That one an overtime finish.
And
we'll skip the Patriot League talk a little bit because we're going to cover them more in depth a little bit later. Plus, they had more important games last night to talk about. Saturday, we'll start off with two big non-con games. One, Albany 13, Yale 12. The Great Danes with a frantic comeback over the Elies to get a huge victory for their profile, 13-12. Yale now in a little bit of danger if they don't win the Ivy League tournament. So huge win for the Great Danes and a lot of heart shown in that effort. And because this is Syracuse, it's a one-goal game, this time against Binghamton. 9-8 victors are the Orange as they hold off one final attack from the Bearcats to win the I-81 Derby. So not a great week for Binghamton, two losses there. They're on a three-game losing streak after being ranked top 20.
Yeah, well, Binghamton played, I thought they played Albany pretty good up until the second half where they got outscored by 6-0. And then Syracuse, you know, I think we let our guard down a little bit with senior day, and we didn't take Binghamton seriously depending on how we did last year. It was just a 13-6 win, a little bit further than what it looked like on the scoreboard, but Binghamton's a really good team. Obviously, we've seen that throughout the year. Tom Moore had 5 goals. He was pretty much their offense, and he was finding ways to getting open. And with cutting Tom Moore out of that offense, it's not the same Binghamton team that we've been seeing this year. Evans had 3 goals. He was pretty much the leading point getter, along with Brent Bonberry's 1 goal, 2 assists. Evan Malloy made 9 saves. Tanner Cousins played a really good game at 8 saves. And overall, just watching the game, it was one of those games where I thought we should have lost, to be quite honest with you. But it was at least better than the St. John's 1-goal game because, one, St. John's is just gosh darn awful and Binghamton not really. So, you know, it's a little bit of a concern. And I know we were talking and some of the the coaches were questioning the work ethic of the players this week or last week during practices. So it's going to be like a go time for these guys, especially the ACC's coming up this weekend.
So moving over to just Albany real quick, I think that ended up being a huge win for them. Because obviously they don't have the America East. If they lose the America East, they don't have that much to fall back on RPI-wise. So this was a must-needed win. And for them to have that fight back, I mean, it was looking like Yale was going to come ahead there in the second half. But that fourth quarter charge just showed us how dangerous this Danes team can be.
Top 5 team in the country. I think they've shown that in their performances all season long. You know, with some luck here and there, they could have been Syracuse and Maryland. They didn't, but they got a big win over Yale. They finally got that, you know, marquee win they have been looking for, and I think they really cemented themselves as one of the elite teams in the country and a true team to watch out for in terms of being a contender for championship weekend.
And with Yale, they have to win the Ivy League. I don't see a scenario where Yale loses the Ivy League and they still get in with an at-large. It's now definitely just a one-bid league with that.
I don't think you can be certain with the fact that Rutgers is still...
You're not the last team in. They're the second to last team in. Yale still has a little bit to fall back on, I feel.
I mean, Yale's looking at... I mean, look, Yale's... It's, you know, no top 5 wins or no top 10 wins. They do have 2 top 20 wins. You know, they're probably gone, but I don't think with just the way the bubble is shaken out this year, I don't think anyone can be certain whatsoever about, who does and doesn't have, you know, a chance at any at-large bids.
Yeah, I think the general weakness of the bubble is definitely going to help Yale out a bit if they don't win the Ivy. Now, I think the asterisk you have to put on this is, if they lose to Princeton or Brown, if they lose to Penn in the semifinals, that's probably not going to do as much good if they... And also, you got to look out. There's a landmine this weekend in the rivalry game with Harvard. So
Harvard's kind of...
Yeah.
Harvard.
we'll talk Ivy League now, by the way. Brown ends Cornell's chances of... Actually, no, Cornell's chances were out the window already. But, where were they? No. Brown ends Cornell's chances of making the Ivy League tournament, win a 13-10 victory there. So Brown clinches the 3 seed in the Ivy League tournament. Cornell will be sitting at home. And similar to Notre Dame football, they are at 4-8. Yale, of course, was non-con. Princeton beat Harvard 12-9. Princeton locks themselves up into the 2 seed in the Ivy tournament. And Penn beat Dartmouth 9-4. That clinched themselves a seat at the Ivy League tournament table. 9-4 victory. Yale had already clinched the 1 seed. They will host the Ivy tournament next weekend in New Haven after one last week of Ivy League play.
Brown's creeping back into kind of like relevancy. They've won 3 straight. They beat Providence in overtime. Cornell by 3, Bryant by 2. Now, I mean, they're not obviously the best margin of wins. Other than the previous 3 games, they lost to Princeton by 10 and then Yale by 6 before beating Penn by 3. They have the wins or winning games, not the same Brown team as we saw last year, heck, even 2 years ago. Dylan Molloy's probably going to rest against Dartmouth. He rests against Bryant. He's not the same Dylan Molloy we've seen the past couple of years. More, we're seeing a little bit of Luke McCaleb, a freshman, Jack Niffin, a freshman, LaSalle College High School product, Steven Hudak, a midfielder, leading the way with 33 points. Not the same Brown team, and we obviously knew that because, one, they'd also have Jack Kelly or those seniors. But they could be a spoiler in this Ivy League tournament, no doubt. They play Princeton, where they lost it by 10, and
good. He was to Princeton by 10 and Yale by 6, and you weren't doing crap in this tournament.
Because guess who you have to play? You automatically have to play Princeton, you have to play Yale.
They lost to Yale by 6 goals, and that game was worse than the score indicated. I mean, if Yale really wants to, Yale could probably hang 25 on Brown. Like, Ben Reeves had 10 points. Look, they can score.
Don't have the defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's still impressive that they can score at the level they do with all they lost, but their defense is a freak.
And that's what happened with Brian yesterday or Tuesday when we're recording this on Wednesday. But they had a 6-1 third quarter, and then they gave up 6 goals to Brian, and they pretty much put Brian back in the game late. So,
yeah, the Ivy League
is a lot of work in defense, but there's a definitely like big gap between 2 and 3.
The Ivy League is, is Princeton probably going to play Penn?
Princeton plays Brown.
Oh, if Princeton plays, then no, I don't see any way we don't get a Yale Princeton final. You know, I mean,
Boston Sims too. Finally, for that game, probably
Yale and Princeton might not be the two. Like, I mean, they might not be two elite teams or, you know, top 10 or top 15 per se, but they are far and away above everyone else in the Ivy simply because, you know, the bottom of the Ivy has just fallen off such a cliff the last couple of years that, you know, I'd be shocked if we didn't get anything else other than Yale and Princeton for all the marbles.
I hope Princeton wins and I hope Syracuse falls to a 3 seed. That way we have a Syracuse-Princeton first round game.
Yes, please. Actually, be careful what you wish for, because you know what will happen then. Princeton wins, and then I'm stuck on Hempstead watching Princeton after beating Syracuse and the revival of the Tigers. Great. actually, we forgot about one other non-con game. Duke 11, Marquette 7. Eagles hung a little bit tight in the first 3 quarters or so before Duke pulled away, so good road win for the Blue Devils there. Also in a critical ACC game, because this means a lot in bracketology talk. Notre Dame 14, UNC 13. The Fighting Irish grab the victory as UNC once again can't seal the deal in ACC play in a game where they could have won and could have really helped themselves out. This puts UNC below 500. So now the only way the Tar Heels could have any possibility of getting into the tournament is to win the ACC title. Now, obviously, there's no auto bid, but they need to get to 500. That's the only way they can get to 500.
I mean, I want to, like, say, one, I don't think UNC is going to win both of those games. Like, even if they win one, I think they're, even if they beat Syracuse on Friday. I think they would probably lose to Duke or Notre Dame on Sunday. But in the possibility, in the event that they do, they could come away with two top five wins in the same weekend and put that with a top 10 Denver win and all of a sudden have potentially a better resume than any other team on the bubble, even at 8-7.
I know. This is the weird thing. UNC, yeah, they're either going to miss the tournament entirely or probably even get a home game.
I don't think they'll get a home game, but
no.
I don't know how. I mean, if they beat Denver, Syracuse, and
let's say Duke.
Duke or Notre Dame.
Duke or Notre Dame. I mean, how do you keep them out? Like, Rutgers was in the latest edition of the Patrick Stevens's bracketology for U.S. Lacrosse Magazine. Rutgers doesn't have half the wouldn't have half the resume that Carolina had if Carolina could pull off two wins. And, I mean, I don't think they will, but it's not like Carolina's been losing these games by... They're not getting blown out. They lost by one to Cuse, and they lost by one to Notre Dame, and they lost by one to Notre Dame in a game. You know, I thought they, you know, could have... I felt they kind of played with... Like, I said this, you know, last week, that, you know, maybe they'll come in feeling the pressure a little bit, and I kind of think they did. I think they really could have won that game, and...
They should have.
Obviously, yeah, and obviously the pressure's going to be, you know, even... going to be on them even more this week, so we'll see how they deal with that. But you know, UNC did this last year where, you know, they got positive momentum, got a win, and, you know, started to, you know, in the tournament they beat Marquette in a close one, then carried all the way through. So, you know, in the event that they beat Cuse, you know, maybe it carries them through and maybe they win on Sunday.
One big note for UNC: they didn't play without long stick midfielder Kyle Matthey. Apparently, from what I'm hearing, he's going to be out for Friday. He's got a He suffered a dislocated shoulder when he played against Syracuse with Luke Schwosnick running into him. So that's a big loss there. We could talk about Notre Dame maybe without Ryder Garnsey because he looked a little bit injured at the end of that game. And that brings up another point of, you know, is Notre Dame healthy? Do they have the guys that they can go to May and win a championship? And if Garnsey isn't healthy, then he's going to step up.
I don't think they have the offense with Ryder Garnsey. No. Without him, that'd be kind of rough to think about if you're a Notre Dame fan.
Imagine if Notre Dame lost this game, they'd be 6-4. They lost to Marquette, which they would be 6-5 or 5-5 entering this game, and they lose to, let's say, Syracuse, and they're 5-6.
Well, I mean, they could have. I mean,
they could have been almost. We could have been almost be talking about Notre Dame and what, like, how we're talking about UNC right now.
Yeah, if Notre Dame had lost to Marquette by one goal. Notre Dame won 2 1-goal games with Marquette and UNC. They could have lost those two games, and they still play Army, which, yeah. I mean, it doesn't look the same as it did. You know, Army doesn't look the same as it did a couple weeks ago. But yeah, I mean, look, the top two seeds potentially in the tournament at the moment, Syracuse and Notre Dame, are both, like, I don't know, five shots away both from being bubble teams.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, they're like five shots in each of their games away from being bubble teams.
We'll take a look now at some other key races. The SoCon got a bit shaken up. Air Force beats Richmond 9-7, whereas Furman took care of business against VMI.
Because VMI.
VMI is not great, but 18-3 in that one. Yeah. So your SoCon conference leader right now is Furman, not Air Force, not Richmond, but Furman. They square off this weekend for what's going to be for the one seed. Actually, no, because Air Force has a tiebreaker. But I know there's a lot of craziness going to go on with the SoCon there, because Furman's at 6-0 and Richmond and Air Force are at 5-1, both looming around at second. Air Force has a tiebreaker over Richmond, and whoever wins the Richmond-Furman game would obviously have a tiebreaker there. But Furman has a tiebreaker over Air Force, so this is making my head hurt thinking of these scenarios.
I think it goes to fewest goals given up. I wrote a little conference tournament update race, and SoCon and the CAA didn't have, like, an actual, like, tiebreaker document online, so I just went with, I believe, their football tiebreaker, which was fewest points allowed, so I'm going to go with fewest goals allowed. And currently Air Force is giving up 30 goals, Richmond with 40, and Furman with 43. So
Okay, and then the other two teams that would be involved in that race for fourth, Bellarmine beat Mercer 12-11, so they hold serve in that four seed. High Point beat Jacksonville 13-9, so any tiebreaker between High Point and Jacksonville would go to High Point. And High Point, though, has Air Force, so that might be a bit of a tough ask for them, whereas Bellarmine
has Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Right. Oh, God, that's another tiebreaker, isn't it? Oh, my
God.
No, well, it's just not hurt.
If High Point loses, they're 2-5. If Jacksonville wins, they'll be 3-4. Bellarmine loses 3-4. Jacksonville gets the tiebreaker.
Yeah, fourth. Jacksonville has a tiebreaker, right. So Jacksonville's still in the hunt for the SoCon as well. So
unbelievable.
Did Jacksonville win a game out of conference this year?
Yes. They beat VMI and then they beat Mercer 2 weeks ago.
How about that? Good for you, Jacksonville.
All right. In NEC play, in the NEC race, is down to the wire between Robert Morris and Hobart. Hobart beat Mount St. Mary's 15-8. And Robert Morris lost to Bryant 13-5.
Shnikes.
So in this one, Hobart and Robert Morris face each other this weekend. So the winner of Robert Morris Hobart will get the one seed in the NEC. Bryant and Sacred Heart are both locked into the tournament, as both of them are at 4-2 and 3-2 respectively, whereas our buddies at Wagner plus Mount St. Mary's and St. Joe's are both at 1-4, so the NEC field is set, just not necessarily the order. And then we'd be remiss to not talk about the Thunderdome, because the CAA is the CAA again. Drexel beats Delaware by a score of 14-9.
Drexel's coming.
Yeah, so Drexel's now in a three-way tie in the Colonial because Towson lost to Fairfield 9-8, and Hofstra took care of business against UMass 15-8. So Hofstra, Towson, and Drexel are all in. Delaware, believe it or not, is at 0-4, even though they have two top 20 wins. Fairfield and Delaware face each other off there, and then UMass holds a tiebreaker over Fairfield, so
UMass is UMass it. Is that it. Field sit. That field set.
Okay, yeah. So that field set too. UMass is locked into the four, but we have a three-way cluster fudge for the Colonial top seed. And given that it's the Colonial, would we have it any other way?
Thunderdome.
Drexel could be the freaking number one seed if Hofstra beats Towson.
They're probably and playing Drexel's the best lacrosse.
Yeah. Reed Bowring. Don't forget the name. He's an underrated freshman. He's, I think, Drexel's top leading scorer, if I'm correct. But he's been doing a heck of a good job this year for the Dragons. He's actually second in the team with points, 37. He has 23 goals, leads the team with 14 assists. He's from Coquitlam, British Columbia. That's where the same hometown as Cole Schaefer, a senior who leads the team in points, is from. So shout out British Columbia, the British version of Columbia. I don't know what that means, but, you know, shout out West Coast, shout out Canucks, shout out Willie Desjardins.
All right, and then in the...
You got fired.
Oh, well, Travis Green, shout out to you.
And then the Metro Atlantic, we know about Monmouth and Canisius from the night before. Marist beat Detroit Mercy 7-6. So Detroit Mercy is at 3-3. They're done with their conference slate. Siena
is still alive.
Yeah, Siena is still alive at 3-2. Somehow. Because they beat Quinnipiac on the Friday. So Marist versus Siena, whoever wins that's the 2 seed. Canisius plays Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac's done, and then the tiebreakers. They lost to Siena, and they lost to... They beat Marist.
Okay. So, here's the thing. If Siena beats Marist, Siena's in. If Siena loses to Marist, Detroit Mercy's in, because Detroit Mercy, I believe, Detroit Mercy has a tiebreaker over Siena.
Okay.
So, Siena's... Why do we call them Detroit Mercy?
Well, that's how
they rebranded it like a couple years ago. Like,
that's how their school title's called, UDM, and then people call them Detroit sometimes, but I guess they're called Detroit Mercy.
Yeah, I guess they did a little Army, we want to be called Army West Point by our full name type of deal, Because I know everyone used to call him Detroit, and now everything's called him Detroit Mercy. And it's not just on lacrosse websites, but like even with college basketball, it's like, oh, Detroit Mercy.
Unbelievable.
Dick Vitale's rolling over in his bed. And then Big Ten play, we had a bit of a shake up. Johns Hopkins beat Michigan 19-9. Oh, hum, everyone's been beating Michigan. Then Ohio State beats Maryland 11-10 in overtime.
And
which Maryland was absolutely murdering Ohio State in the first quarter. I'm like, okay, this game's going to be a blowout. Maryland's looking like a team that, you know, given Syracuse struggles, I might put Maryland number one. And then I watched some hockey, then put it back on. It's like, wait, Ohio State's in this game? And then Ohio State wins in overtime. So,
yeah. Ohio State figured out at a little bit before halftime and at halftime that Maryland didn't have Colin Heacock. And once Ohio State seemingly figured that out, and once Ohio State made the adjustments, Maryland really had no, you know, I mean, they put up 10, which is, you know, pretty impressive against that Ohio State defense considering they were missing Colin Heacock. And, you know, if Heacock had played, I think Maryland would have won that game pretty handily. But once Maryland basically only had one true dodging threat, which was, you know, Matt Rambo, who played amazing. But, you know, Ohio State didn't have to, you know, there was no threat in Maryland's third attackman, which they, you know, kind of, they played Ben Chisholm some there a little bit. They played Lewis Dubik a little bit there. Ohio State's obviously got a great defense, so they handled Maryland's midfield pretty well. Jared Bernhardt had a tough game and has had a tough last couple weeks. He got the game tying goal late in the game, you know, which hopefully will give him some confidence and allow him to play a bit better. But yeah, you know, Maryland was kind of, I guess, caught Ohio State off guard. You know, maybe Ohio State was expecting Heacock to play because he did. He was in uniform in the first half, but didn't play. Eventually, he switched out of his uniform, wasn't dressed for the second half. Once they figured it out, you know, the game kind of turned around. And Ohio State just dominated faceoffs throughout virtually the entire game, which, you know, gave them a big advantage there. And Dan Morris struggled for basically the entire game until the fourth quarter and made a couple saves.
Well, I didn't watch this game because pretty much we were playing Binghamton during the same time that they were, but same thoughts. I was checking in updates. Maryland was pretty much trouncing Ohio State. It was like 7-4 at half. It was still a close game. And then
7-2 at one point.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Ohio State just went on a five-goal, it looks, I believe, a five- or six-goal run to take an 8-7 lead into the fourth quarter. And then Maryland scored three, and then Ohio State scored two to send it to OT. Fennell had his fifth, or excuse me, Johnny Pearson had his overtime winner, his second. Eric Fennell had five goals. I think we're underestimating Ohio State. They have some pretty darn good wins. I think
we recognize how pretty darn good they are.
I think we were all like saying, like, when they beat Denver, we were all like, all right, this is a really good win. Towson, this is a really good win, but how will they do against Notre Dame, Penn State? We all kind of blew them off. Johns Hopkins, we were like, eh, all right. And then Maryland today, that win's going to be like, yeah. I think people are going to start to take them a little bit more seriously, how they do against Rutgers, a team that will definitely need a win in order to be alive for the NCAA tournament this weekend. That's a key. Yeah. At Rutgers.
Yeah, so let's just get Brian Brown out of the way. I know we're going out of order because we're going to do a segue with the Rutgers-Penn State game. Brown won a Rhode Island Derby over Bryan 14-12. So back to Sunday night in Sunday night B1G lax on BTN. All right, Sunday night. Penn State 13, Rutgers 7. The Nittany Lions flat out dominated the Scarlet Knights in a critical game. Penn State clinches their ticket to the Big Ten tournament. Rutgers finishes fifth, and the Scarlet Knights, not looking like the same Rutgers team as earlier in the season. They do have the benefit of that Ohio State game still ahead, so they still have something to play for, but they are not going to be able to get that auto bid to secure safety, and they won't get a chance at Maryland, Hopkins, or Ohio State a second time for another quality RPI win.
Yeah, the Big Ten, Ohio State's the one seed at the moment.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, Hopkins and Maryland are, you know, tied for two. And then Penn State is four. Penn State is locked in at the number four.
Yes.
There is no upward mobility for the Nittany Lions. Hopkins and Maryland potentially could be playing for what jersey they get to wear when they play again in a couple days. Obviously you're playing for, it's the biggest rival in the sport. But if Ohio State takes care of business, Ohio State will be the one seed. And, again, Maryland and Hopkins are playing for what jersey you wear and to play each other again on Thursday.
So,
of course, if Ohio State loses, then if Ohio State loses and Maryland wins, Maryland will be the one seed. And if Ohio State loses and Hopkins wins, then I believe the Buckeyes would still be the number one seed.
So here's how
the Buckeyes beat Hopkins.
No. So here's how if Ohio State loses and Penn State wins, that's because I'm assuming.
Oh yeah, sorry. If Ohio State loses, Ohio State would have two losses, and so they would lose it. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. So the Hopkins Maryland winner will become the top seed, and let's say Maryland wins, and it'll go, I believe go to regular season. If I'm reading this right, if we go to regular season records, or we follow the tie breaking procedure in men's basketball. Because I don't think there is a tiebreaker that I know of in men's lacrosse, so I don't know or not.
I mean,
so let's say
tiebreakers head to head.
Yeah, I guess, but head to head we already did that. But the second tiebreaker, I think, go to like I don't know or
I don't
whatever.
Think it'd be a
there's no, there's the only tiebreaker because Maryland and Hopkins play each other, so it's going to be the winner of Maryland Hopkins
is the one seed.
Is the one seed if Ohio State loses.
And Ohio State.
Ohio State, it doesn't really matter just what color jersey they're wearing.
Well, yeah, if Ohio State wins, yeah, then you're playing for, who gets to wear white.
Right. I'm just saying, if Ohio State loses, then it's just Ohio State versus the loser versus of Maryland Hopkins.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying if, let's say Maryland wins, because you have then, and Ohio State loses, then you have Ohio State 3-2, Hopkins 3-2, Penn State 3-2. They're all 1-1 against each other, and the same with Hopkins and Hopkins winning and Ohio State losing.
Yeah, I see.
That's correct.
So I think if it goes to regular season records,
regular season records between those two are 1-1. So yeah. Regular
season overall records, like the overall season records.
Oh.
It would go with Penn State, Ohio State, and the loser of Hopkins, Maryland. So technically,
Penn State could get the two.
It could be if we're following men's basketball. And I don't really know what the deal is if men's lacrosse follows what men's basketball does because they're going to find a tiebreaker on their website. But.
Yeah.
This is going to be confusing. So now that we have that segue, we are going to talk a little bracketology. Though we're not really going to talk about Rutgers' case because, believe it or not, as of now, Rutgers is... Okay, this is the obvious caveat. Whenever we're talking about bracketology, we're assuming A, Albany wins the America East, B, Denver wins the Big East, and C, Hofstra wins the Colonial. So, Patrick Stevens at U.S. Lacrosse Magazine has Rutgers not as the last team in, but the second to last team in, so they're kind of safe. And Inside Lacrosse has Rutgers in as well with another last team out. Now, where we differ is Patrick Stevens has, for the final at large, he considers, quote, a toss-up between Towson and Princeton. the last four are Princeton, Rutgers, Towson, and Villanova for two spots. And he feels it's between Towson and Princeton for the final one. Now, Inside Lacrosse, on the other hand, their bracketology that came out today, they have Towson out and Villanova in. So let's play the everything holds serve and everything stays sane in the America East, Colonial, and Big East. And let's say, Rutgers loses to Ohio State, but generally safe. And let's assume things hold serve. So in this instance, Villanova's not winning the Big East. Denver is. Princeton's not winning the Ivy League. Yale is. And Towson's not winning the Colonial. Hofstra is. Or Drexel, because Drexel's coming in hot as well. If we're to pick two teams out of that four, who are we picking? Between Rutgers, Towson, Princeton, and Villanova.
I'm picking Rutgers. I think they're kind of solid team, and I'm picking who?
Rutgers and Towson.
Yeah. I'm going to Rutgers and Princeton.
Towson has...
It's tough.
Yeah, it's a very tough call.
Here's the thing. Princeton is, I don't think, is going to get in as an at-large because Princeton can't add anything to their resume anymore. If Princeton beats Yale, you just get the AQ.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in either way.
Yeah.
But the Penn win doesn't... The Penn win doesn't do anything for you. What Towson has up their sleeve is Towson plays Hofstra this weekend. Towson could beat Hofstra this weekend and get a top 10 win, maybe Princeton, maybe Hofstra falls back. Still top 20 win. Towson could beat Hofstra and add another top 20 win, not win the CAA, and Towson would end up having, say, if Hofstra ends up being a finishes top 10 RPI. Towson would have two top 10 RPIs wins. Princeton would have... Princeton has a top 5 and a top 10. So,
in mind, Princeton plays Brown, not Penn, in the semifinals.
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep doing that. At the moment, it's Towson and Princeton both have a top 5, and they both have a top 10, and they both have a top 20. Towson could add another top 10, which would give them one more top 10 over Princeton. Towson already has a better RPI. Strength of schedule is essentially a wash. Towson's 26 and Princeton's 25. If Towson could have another one, and if this is razor thin, if Towson has one more top 20 win or top 10 win, I think Towson, in that case, is in. Now, of course, they would have to beat Hofstra, but that is the advantage that Towson has, because Princeton is going to only play Yale in, the Ivy League final, which if they win that, you get in as the artist.
Yeah.
Villanova has the same. Villanova has a top 5 win, a top 10 win, and a top 20 win. Villanova has a better strength of schedule than both Towson and Princeton, albeit not significantly. Villanova's 21 to Towson's 26 and Princeton's 25. But I don't think Villanova can really... If Villanova's in the same case as Princeton, your only big win you can get is Denver, and if you get that, I imagine being the Big East final, is there an event that...
Well, they did defeat Maryland already, too.
Yes, that's
what probably the biggest win.
By the way, just interrupt, P.K. Subban!
Yes.
Towson and Princeton also both have top 5 wins. They both beat Hopkins. And so, if there's an event in which Villanova can play... but Villanova's problem is that if they were to beat Denver somehow, like before the Big East final, I don't know how the Big East is shaking out at the moment. But if Villanova played Denver in the Big East semifinal and win, but didn't win the Big East tournament, then Denver's just going to jump in the at-large fray and.
Just to interrupt real quick. Villanova can only play Providence.
Okay, well then.
So
Villanova's in the same case as Princeton.
Yeah, but they play Providence twice. But again, I think Providence's RPI took a big hit. Right, they're down to 23 after
they lost to Brown.
Yeah, so that's not gonna. It's not gonna really add anything. So yeah, Towson's the one team that has the advantage of they get to play a top 10 team this weekend. And can get a top 10 win, or maybe Hofstra's RPI falls a bit and it's a top 20 win. But they can add one more scalp to their schedule without winning their conference tournament, which Princeton and Villanova, both cannot do.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the big if is Towson against Hofstra this weekend is going to be the big thing.
Towson beats Hofstra this weekend, I think they're probably in.
If Towson beats Hofstra and get to the Colonial Final, I think they're in no matter what. And I think, Drexel's coming in a little bit better. I know they're at 27, so it's not exactly going to be a huge win for them, per se. Not as much as the Hofstra. But, yeah, Towson can definitely benefit the most if they could get that Hofstra win. I think also likewise, if Hofstra beats Towson this weekend, as long as they don't crap the bed against UMass, which is a big if because Hofstra has a bad history against UMass. But provided Hofstra gets into the Colonial Final, they beat Towson this weekend, I think they're in. So that takes a little bit of pressure off this exercise.
I'm not going to say that this team for sure has a potential chance at it, but Army is currently top 20 in RPI. Army has a top 5, a top 10, and 2 top 20 wins. And Army does have a game against Notre Dame.
Right now their strength of schedule is only at 41. Yes. But that skyrockets with Notre Dame.
Army beats Notre Dame. That gives them 2 top 5 wins, which neither Towson nor Villanova nor Rutgers nor Princeton has. And, you know, Army's got the problem of losses. Their losses are not good. But, you know, everyone is jockeying for a big win. And, you know, in the event that Army could pull off, if, you know, say they lost in the either Patriot League semifinals or Patriot League finals, and they were able to pull off that Notre Dame win, I think they'd probably jump back in the fray as well.
I don't want to exercise the more what-if options, but taking a look at BU, they're 12-3. Let's say they beat Army, but they lose to Loyola, but then they beat Duke.
Yeah,
so gets them a top 10 win then.
Yeah, BU's problem is that they have no top 5 nor top 10 wins.
They don't.
Yeah, and their strength of schedule is the worst on the bubble at 57.
Yeah.
But if they beat Army, that gives them a little bit of a boost. That's a top 20 win. It's not much, but it's a top 20 win. Duke. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of a game changer. But
BU and Army are both in the, you know, I mean, they're not it. Right now at the moment, they're firmly out. Mm-hmm. Compared to, you know, Towson and Princeton were, you know, a little in the gray area. But if they get those wins.
Yeah, I mean, if the winner of Army BU loses to loses in the Patriot League, but then get a win in ACC Patriot League Challenge weekend, then that changes the conversation quite a bit. So but there's one other point. The one thing that could screw all this up is if Holy Cross wins the Patriot League.
Oh, Jesus, God.
Then nobody's getting in out of the Patriot League.
Nobody. That's no chance.
Yeah, the one thing with the Patriot League is that the team that has home field advantage in the Patriot League tournament, which is Loyola, basically has no route as an at-large. Army and BU, again, I don't think they're going to get in as an at-large. We don't think they're going to get in as a large. But there is a potential route there for them. There is no route for Loyola without the Patriot League tournament, and they are the home field team in the Patriot League tournament.
So, Chris, wanted to make a point about Patriot League ACC Challenge weekend?
That was me. I was going to say this could be the first ever year that the ACC Patriot League Challenge actually means something.
Yeah.
Just surprising.
It's important. Potentially, you know.
Potentially, yeah. A lot has to shake out. And again, anytime we're talking about bracketology, it's everything goes according to script. Very rarely does everything go according to script.
I wonder if, like, UNC, let's say they lose one game. Heck, it doesn't matter if they lose.
They don't have an ACC.
Next year. Like, they lose one game, they're out because they're under 500. Would they want to think about calling up Loyola next year saying, hey, you want to do a last week game in case that happens again so they can be at least above 500.
Yeah.
That's a good point because that's a
very good point.
Because both teams could have definitely benefited from that extra game.
Yeah.
North Carolina and Virginia are the only two ACC schools that are out, and the Patriot League schools that don't play are Loyola, Holy Cross, which I don't know why would you play Holy Cross, Lehigh, Navy at this point, Bucknell, and Lafayette.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play Navy just because that is a potential pitfall for your own RPI a little bit.
Virginia could do it. Virginia could possibly do it.
Yeah, so yeah, pair Virginia and Navy. And then, yeah, I would say I know it's very risky in case both teams are at 500 with Loyola and UNC, but you got to think of this year where both teams could have used that extra game.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean,
I wouldn't blame the coaches if they considered this factor. This is a very, very odd year for the bubble.
Yes.
The bubble's not... I'm not saying like the bubble in college across is like ever super strong, because there's just not enough teams for that to be the case. But this is a odd year in which the bubble is like particularly weak. And, you know, the coaches might consider, you know, in the future, the bubble might not be as weak as it is this year. It might be more... There might be more concrete, you know, teams that are going to make it in. In which case, they figure, you know, oh, well, you know. And both coaches, you know, there's, I guess, a matter of... Both programs might consider in the future, they think they'll be good enough to win their conference tournaments. Well, North Carolina, you know, the AQ, that's going to go out the window. But, you know, Loyola might consider in the future they'll be good enough to win the Patriot League tournament easily. Or North Carolina will think that they're not going to, you know, go below 500 again. No, so there's a lot for both programs to consider, but yeah, and this year it would be something that would benefit both of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Alrighty, now it's time to talk a little postseason lacrosse. I'm gonna go default with the theme song. We're not going with Warriors. Don't worry. Let's just borrow from ESPN, shall we? Alrighty. Once and for all, it's time to talk postseason lacrosse. And,
at least I didn't get laid off.
Yeah. Patriot League, which started its tournament because they have the most ungodly large lacrosse conference in all the land. Because 9 teams.
Reasons.
Yeah, and a 6-team tournament, so they have a quarterfinal.
The love of God.
Nowhere else. So it gives us this. Yes, last night, the quarterfinals. BU nearly shuts out Lehigh for the entire second half in a 10-4 victory. So the Terriers move on to their first Patriot League semifinal. So shout out to Marissa. Your team is moving on. Shout down to Johns Hopkins, who now can boast that they lost 18-7 to a team that lost to a team that put up 4 against BU. And in the other one, in the one that has made the Lax Power Forums going unhinged, Holy Cross 11, Navy 7. Holy Cross win their first ever Patriot League tournament game. And additionally, kick Navy out. Navy season's done, except for the game, their last game of the season.
Which they don't have.
Which they don't have. So yeah, Navy season's done. I forgot they didn't have one. We were just discussing that, silly me. But, yeah, so Holy Cross is in the semifinals. So let's, before we set up this weekend's games, yeah, this season ended up being a real disaster for Navy. I mean, I know we said, all right, yeah, they lost a little bit from last year. You know, some big players from last year. But they generally had a core intact. But this year,
it's that core got...
Everything fell apart.
That core got blown up when Casey Reese got hurt.
Yes.
Before the season. And I remember saying before the season that, you know, I really liked what Navy had. And I thought that, you know, I didn't know if they were going to be as good as they were last year. But I liked the potential of that team, you know, to be a Patriot League champion. And then Casey Reese got hurt. And I think that just kind of threw... And he got hurt late. And I think that just kind of threw everything out the window for this Navy team. You know, a Navy team that, you know, again, just kind of, you know, it was a weird year. They would find offense in spots, and then they would lose it. I mean, they scored 11 against Dartmouth, 14 against Lehigh, 11 against Holy Cross, and 4 against Colgate the next week.
They're set. Yep. Continue.
Yeah, and they would score. I mean, they scored 11 against 12 against Maryland, 11 against Delaware, and then 7 against BU. And I think you got to look at, you know, for a team that, you know, its highest scorers had 38 points each, Grayson Turning and Ryan Wade, both guys who will be back next season. So something to look forward to for the midshipmen. 5 of Navy's top 6 scorers will be back. So there is something to build on there. But, you know, for a team that would find offense quite a bit and then lose it, you got to think that losing Casey Reese was just the real, you know, death knell for their hopes.
Navy's, all of Navy's 6 wins came when they scored over double digit goals. Their only loss when they scored double-digit goals was Maryland earlier in the year. It was a 15-12 loss. And then ever since then, 8 goals against Hopkins, 7 against BU, 9 against Penn, 8 Lafayette, which was a loss, 7 against Loyola.
Lafayette, that's all that needs to be said.
That's all we need to be said. So I can just stop my argument there, but I'm not, because it was just a bad year for Navy. As we said, pretty much I thought Casey Reese, when he was out for the year, that kind of started to write the writing on the wall, saying that he wasn't going to be back, and Navy wasn't going to be the same Navy team as was before. Thought Ryan Kern had a decently good start to his freshman year early on, and then he just started to fall off. The Lafayette loss really did a hurting to them. There were some peaks that we saw. Dave Little's 9 goals against Lehigh, pretty much scoring Lehigh to tie them up at 9-9. But other than that, you know, there's just plenty of questions surrounding this Navy team. If they can get an offense going next year, especially with Terrain and Wade and with Casey Reese coming back. And then finding out the defense, because Chris Fennell's out. He's a senior, I believe. He's a senior. He was a Patriot League defensive player of the year. Matt Reese is a senior. So their defense is going to take a huge hit this year.
I think Jack Rice suffered from injuries as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, again, you lose two of your top players like that in Bray and Casey Reese, and that's just, again, a team that's long had issues with offense, and, you know, even as good as Terrain and Wade ended up being, you know, it's, you're just not going to be able to compete consistently.
So our condolences over to 1987 sucks on the end of a Navy season. Which leads us to Friday. We have the semifinals. They're on CBS Sports Network. Loyola will be hosting it at 4:30. They'll host Holy Cross, who, as we said, the Crusaders could be the one that throws a complete monkey wrench into the Patriot League, which it's the Patriot League. We could expect the unexpected there. And then we got a good one at 7:30, BU at Army. That one should be a fun one to watch, especially given the momentum that both teams have or have not had in recent weeks. And then the championship game will be Sunday, also on CBS Sports Network, probably simultaneous with the ACC because nobody knows how to schedule these things.
At least there's going to be lacrosse on CBS Sports Network for longer than, you know, a professional league. Just throw that out there.
So let's do our quick pick'em of how we think the Patriot League tournament will shake out and who gets that auto bid.
Why? Why are you making me do this? God. I'm going to hate myself for this. I think I'm going to have to pick Loyola. And I hate myself for this very much. But, yeah, I think I might have to pick Loyola.
If Holy Cross freaking beats Loyola,
I give up.
Might as well burn the world down.
I give up if Holy Cross beats Loyola.
Loyola will beat Holy Cross, though. I think, give me an upset here, BU beats Army, and BU beats Loyola. In a battle of can suck more.
Oh my god, this is a tough conference to pick. I have no idea where this is going to go. I think Loyola beats Holy Cross. I have no idea who the hell to pick in Army BU, though. Give me BU. BU's been playing a lot better lacrosse lately than Army has. And then, oh god. I guess give me Loyola in a close one, only because of the, I know it's cliche, but they've been here in this situation before.
Yeah, and they're at home.
And they're at home, so I think that little bit of experience gives them the slight edge in that one compared to a BU team that's still a bit young, and this is their first time, you know, competing for an NCAA bid. I'll go with the Greyhounds of the Terriers in the Dog Derby.
God dang quality win, Loyola.
We'll move on to the ACC, where we've already kind of, what hasn't been said about the ACC at this point. The big storyline here is UNC has to win out to finish at 500. If they lose one of the two games, they are done for, cannot qualify for the NCAA tournament. Otherwise, this is all a blatant RPI booster for Syracuse, Duke, and Notre Dame. The games will be on ESPN News on Friday because Jake Zards are on ESPNU on Friday night.
Also on NBA TV, and it makes no sense.
So if you thought the NHL playoff television schedule is kooky, you get the NBA playoffs on ESPNU because the NFL draft is going on, and because they scheduled it where they added two East games going on simultaneously. This is also the same league that put the Zards and Hawks on at 6 today on a Wednesday evening.
No respect to the Zards. No respect.
And but the championship game will be on ESPNU on Sunday, God willing.
Unless I have a torrential rainstorm like last year.
Yeah. Oh, it's supposed to be sunny down there, or partly cloudy down there.
That's good.
So the lineup is 6 o'clock UNC against Syracuse, and then Notre Dame at Duke at 8:30. Duke is the host of it because they bid on it and the ACC gave it to them, and we're not trying Kinesio State anymore. So this one, yeah, it's mainly to boost everyone's RPIs. Got Syracuse. Can they continue the cardiac Q stretch this weekend and give its fans heart attacks twice in a weekend instead of the standard once a weekend? Notre Dame-Duke, you have a case here. Can Notre Dame rack up another big scalp for their resume in a bid for a 2 seed? Or does Duke continue being the hottest team in the nation, grab another big victory, and position themselves for an ACC title game? And then, of course, UNC must win if they want to defend their title this May. So this one, where do we head in the direction for the ACC?
I'm going to say North Carolina beats Syracuse.
Oh, my God.
Another one-goal game for the Orange, but this time... this time the bounces don't quite go their way. This time, say Brian Balkum makes some big saves. Carolina beats the Orange. I will say Duke beats Notre Dame. Kind of how the game went earlier this season between these two teams. I could see the Blue Devils getting out to a big lead and, you know, potentially holding on and winning, you know, maybe by 3 or 4. I really like the way Duke's playing and not... big fan of Notre Dame's offense, as you know, I've made mention on this podcast the past couple weeks. And so I'll go UNC Duke, big rivalry game for UNC's Sturman hopes. But I will say,
if you say UNC,
no, I'm going to take the Blue Devils, and UNC falls short in their hopes of defending their championship.
All right, well, I'm going to bury UNC earlier. They lose to Cuse Friday. Just bury their souls in the ground of Fetzer Field and let the be demolished, just like Fetzerville will be during the summer. Cuse wins. Notre Dame sucks. Duke's going to beat them. I think in the championship game, Duke gets Syracuse, and Duke wins by a goal, because that's how life is for Syracuse fans. I think Duke's playing really good lacrosse right now. Gutterding and Bruckner is pretty much their offense. Their defense is really underrated. I think Brendan Fowler's been making big strides since he took over for Luke Aaron 2 years ago in goal. This is probably his best year yet in goal. And Kyle Rowe's been a face-off machine. How Ben Williams will be against Bones Kelly Friday and then Rowe Sunday. And we saw how he did against Rowe earlier in the season. Will be a big part. I like Duke in this one. I'm sorry, Cuse faithful. But at least you killed North Carolina, because North were their kryptonite.
I will say... I can totally expect if it's Duke versus Syracuse, death by Fowler, except that the goaltending position is at a face-off X, which, oh God.
Yeah, I think, Chris, did you say Brandon Fowler instead of Danny?
I think I said Brendan. I meant yeah. Danny Fowler.
Stop getting my town south of me in Wantagh nightmares mixed up. For me, I'm going to be like Jake. Syracuse is playing far too much. I think UNC gets it. They're motivated. They get the win.
Wow, you're a good alum.
You know how many times I've picked against Syracuse this year? This has got to be like the fifth or sixth time I've picked against Syracuse.
That's fine. You know what? That's fine. We'll win now.
great.
And then, yeah, I'm like you guys. I could hear Team NDATL tweeting at us already. But allow me to put on my skepticals with Notre Dame. I like Duke. They're just playing red hot lacrosse. And then it's Duke UNC, baby! The greatest thing in the world! Nothing else compares! Give me Duke. As I said, Duke's been playing really good, so we'll go
with Duke. We're all on the Blue Devils, so...
just like the Capitals-Blackhawks Stanley Cup Final, put all your money on the Irish, then. But it's not just tournament weekend, because we still have a weekend of regular season action elsewhere, including the biggest rivalry game of them all in Hopkins, Maryland. We'll get to that one in a little bit. Your weekend will look like this. Friday, Quinnipiac heads to the Buffalo area to play Canisius at 4. Manhattan at Monmouth at 4 on ESPNU. So there's your...
Oh, my God.
There's your Zards pregame. Start your Friday right with Manhattan-Monmouth. Watch the Hawks win by 13 or so. Then we got a good SUNY battle. Binghamton at Stony Brook in the America East. That winner of that one will get the 2 seed for the tournament. So that'll be a good one. Drexel UMass at 6 if you want to see more chaos in the Colonial. And Sacred Heart at Wagner at 7. Saturday we got a good slate as well. Hartford at Albany at 7. Albany clinches the clinches an undefeated season with a win there in America East play. Jacksonville at Bellarmine at 1. Again, that one has SoCon tournament implications. If you like the Pistons versus the Cavaliers, I use that analogy because the other one is Lions-Browns, and we don't want to wish that upon anybody. We got Detroit Mercy at Cleveland State at 7 under the lights. The Ivy League's biggest rivalry game that's kind of meaningless because the Ivy League is all locked up. Princeton at Cornell, 3 o'clock. Big Red can do a little bit of wreak a little bit of havoc on Princeton's profile with a win on senior day there. Brown at Dartmouth at 4. Again, Brown's locked into the 3 seed. That doesn't really mean too much. Delaware at Fairfield at 7. That's a key Colonial game. St. John's at Georgetown to see who doesn't finish last in the Big East and comes away with a victory. Yale at Harvard at 2 in another big Ivy League rivalry game. That doesn't really mean too much because Yale has the top seed locked up. However, again, the Crimson can wreak havoc on their rivals. Profile, Air Force at High Point at noon. Air Force can, with a little bit of help, can put themselves into the SoCon one seed combo there. Siena at Marist at 7, under lights over by the Hudson. Denver at Marquette at 3:30 Central. Again, Denver has that number one seed in the Big East. Marquette's locked into the 4, but that could be fun. Johns Hopkins at Maryland, the rivalry game, 7 o'clock BTN. That one in College Park. That one could determine who gets the one seed in the Big Ten if another game earlier in the day dictates anything. Penn State at Michigan at 1. St. Joe's at Mount St. Mary's at 3. UMass Lowell and JIT at noon. Villanova at Providence at 1. That one will dictate who gets the 2 seed in the Big East. Furman at Richmond at 1. That one can either clinch Furman an undefeated SoCon season and the 1 seed, or get into that crazy 3-way tiebreak if Air Force wins plus a Richmond win. Hobart at Robert Morris at 1. That one will determine who gets the 1 seed in the NEC. The loser will fall into the 3 or 4. So that one's going to be a key game to see who gets regular season crown in the NEC. Winner directly gets it. Ohio State at Rutgers at 1. This one's a key one for Rutgers. This is their last gasp at a big victory for their profile heading into Selection Sunday. And then speaking of regular season crowns, Hofstra at Towson at noon. That one is in Towson. If Towson wins, they clinch the 1 seed in the Colonial. Actually, let me check that, make sure my facts are straight. Yep. If Towson wins, they get the one seed. If Hofstra wins, they get the one seed. If Drexel loses, if Drexel wins and Hofstra wins, we got to go into tiebreak hell. Vermont at UMBC at noon. Mercer at VMI at noon. And in the ACC Blade and RPI booster game, which doesn't mean anything because it's not given an RPI boost, and it's not going to benefit the team, the fifth place ACC team, and it's not even going to benefit the Ivy League team that's in it either. Penn at Virginia, in Durham. That it used to be a good game, the ACC Blade and RPI booster game, where it's at least a little entertaining.
No, it didn't. Stop lying.
This one is just sad. So I thought about Jason's like, no, it wasn't. It was all right, but this one's just sad.
Thank you. Penn State, Michigan is Sunday.
No, it is. I see on Lax Power it's on Saturday.
Oh, IL has it at Sunday.
Oh, great.
For what?
So,
Patriot League?
No.
Penn State, Michigan. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Penn State's going to win.
Yeah, who cares? Penn State, yep.
Okay, so let's play some pick'em. We will start off, we'll save the rivalry for last.
As we should.
Jake could put in his personal feelings about the game heading into the game, too. Let's start off with Binghamton Stony Brook on Friday night.
I like Stony Brook.
Binghamton's playing kind of crappy lately. And Stony Brook's won two in a row, so I guess I'll go with Stony Brook.
I'll be the guy that goes against the grain, and Bingo was his name. Oh, because the Bearcats played good against Syracuse. I think they used some momentum there. Give me the Bearcats in that one. Let's see. Jacksonville, Bellarmine. I'll go with the Knights. So, Bellarmine.
Bellarmine, sure.
Jacksonville has been kind of hot. Won two of the last three. I like their momentum. I'm going to go with Bellarmine.
Wait.
Yes.
Wait, what?
I'll go with Bellarmine. all of you.
Because it's one of the bigger rivalries, we're legally obliged to have to pick Princeton Cornell. Give me the Tigers.
Yeah, the Tigers, and then Cornell should start thinking about making a coaching change.
Yep, going to go with Princeton. Jeff Teat's overrated.
Yale at Harvard, because once again, we're obliged to point out ancient eight rivalries. Give me Yale.
Yep, Yale.
Yeah, yep.
Denver Marquette in Big East play could be interesting, though, but I'll go with DU.
Bill Turney's Denver sucks the total life out of this game, as they usually do, and win in a boring, dull 13-3 slogfest. I don't know.
That game's on CBS Sports Network. I'm going to watch round 7 of the NFL draft. Give me Denver.
Villanova Providence. Who gets that 2 seed in the Big East? I'm going to go with the Wildcats. The Friars have been a bit shaky lately.
Nova.
Wow. I like that bit shaky lately from Gus Johnson. Give me Villanova.
Furman at Richmond. I'm going to go with Richmond because I don't know if I could trust Furman to run the table in SoCon.
Richmond. I like the Spiders. I think they had a bit of a hiccup, but I think they should rebound and take this one and win the entire thing in the SoCon.
Give me the Richmond Spiders in this one.
Hobart Robert Morris. Who gets it? The Statesman or Bobby Moe? Who gets that one seed in the NEC? I'm going to go with Robert Morris. I think Robert Morris has been sneakily impressive all year long. So give me the Colonials.
Hobart has won 3 in a row. Robert Morris has been a little shaky lately. So I'm going to go with Hobart.
Another Gus Johnson reference there. I'm going to go with Hobart. The loss to Bryant, I don't think, will still linger on for a little bit for the Colonials. I still think they'll play a big role in the NAC tournament. Give me Hobart.
Do we dare pick the Blade and RPI booster game?
No.
Okay, we're not then.
No.
So we'll move on. The Ohio State University versus Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey.
New York's College, Rutgers.
Give me Ohio's College. The Buckeyes.
I will go with
guys easily.
I'm going to go with the Buckeyes. I know this is a big trap game for Ohio State, but I just think that if they play the way they did last week against Maryland, they'll seal the deal and get that one seed for the Big Ten tournament.
I'm actually getting word that Ohio's university is actually the Bobcats of Ohio University. So, scratch that. It's just Ohio State University Buckeyes. They're not. They don't control Ohio. It's the Bobcats that do.
But they are the Ohio State University.
Yes.
Okay. Hofstra Towson, who makes it out of this this Colonial League mess alive?
Future University of One Jake Nazar Towson Tigers.
I'm going with Hofstra.
I'm going to trust the Seth Tierney coach team in April to actually go with Hofstra. Pray for me. Okay, so is Drexel play this weekend?
Yes, they are. They play.
No, they play UMass. We didn't pick that game. Drexel on UMass Friday. On Friday. Who do we got in that one? I got Drexel.
Drexel's playing well.
University City's finest, Drexel.
Which leads us to Johns Hopkins, Maryland. Thankfully, not in a Day of Rivals type thing at M&T Bank Stadium, but on campus. BTN, under the lights, primetime audience. Going to be a good one. Who do we got? Jays and Terps, and do we want to preview it a little bit?
I guess we can preview it a little bit, sure.
Why not?
Yeah, we're only at an hour, not even an hour and 15 minutes, so we're running slowly. So we can spend the next half hour on this game.
I was making great time. Proud of us.
Yeah. But, so Hopkins, Maryland, both teams are a little erratic in Big Ten play in terms of wins and losses, but still generally very solid. Both teams looking at seeded slots in the NCAA tournament. But a big game with a lot of pride in the line, and it's a throw-out-the-record-book game. I would think if Maryland's on all cylinders, they have the edge, but that's a big if. And, of course, the big question mark is Heacock and his status.
If Heacock is healthy, then I believe that Maryland will take care of this game. Faceoffs is going to be an interesting factor. You know, Hopkins is a lot better when Hunter Moreland wins quite a bit the X. Maryland can win without... I think that's a key here, is that Maryland can win this game without dominating the faceoff X.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you know, they would like to, because, you know, it's been something that's bugged them quite a bit. But, you know, they can, if they don't get, more than 50% of the draws, I think Maryland can win this game. I'm not sure that's the case for Hopkins. Maryland put up 10 on Ohio State last week, a very good Ohio State defense, without Colin Heacock. Without Colin Heacock, I think they could probably, if they could put 10 on Ohio State, I think they could do more to the Blue Jays. Even though the Blue Jays defense has been, you know, has shown some signs of performing better lately. But, you know, if Heacock's healthy, that'll be a big boost for Maryland's offense, which has, you know, I guess kind of steadily, you know, subtly gotten, you know, some more production lately. Tim Rotans has scored a hat trick in 3 straight games. He's up to 27 points on the year. Ben Chisholm is up to 10 points on the year. He's had goals in, I believe, 4 straight games. He's a second-line midfielder who hopefully can provide some depth scoring for the Terps. I like where the Terps were headed, even after the loss to Ohio State last week. That was a tough one, but I still think they're overall on the right track. But, you know, this game's going to depend a lot on probably goalie play. If Dan Morris can play really well, then, you know, Maryland, when Dan Morris plays well, with the exception of the Notre Dame game where Maryland scored 4 goals, if Dan Morris plays really well, Maryland wins. I think he's probably the X factor, even more so than anything that might happen at the faceoff X with Moreland and, you know, whoever it is that takes the draws from Maryland.
Henning Singh is an underrated faceoff guy. He uses his wings a lot. He has a big challenge against Hunter Moreland, who I don't think he's 100%, but he's looking a lot better week by week, as we've been seeing ever since he came against Syracuse. Big thing here is, I know we talked about Colin Heacock, if he's going to play. Shaq Stanwyck for Hopkins is right now listed as day-to-day, and no one knows except the Hopkins players and coaching staff. They know how he's going to be for Saturday, if he's going to play at all or if he's not going to play. So Kyle Maher is going to have to step up. Wilkins Smith is going to have to step up. You should see a little bit of Florey Smith at an attack. And the midfield is going to have to play a big role. Also, I don't like Hopkins personally, so I like Maryland in this one.
I think my pick is going to all depend on Heacock. If he plays, give me the Terps. If he's hurting out, give me the Jays.
I like to fancy myself an objective journalist, but this is Hopkins Maryland week, so Maryland's going to stomp the ever-loving crap out of the Blue Jays, and then we're probably going to stomp the ever-loving crap out of them a couple days later in the Big Ten tournament.
And, Chris, you said you had
Maryland. I said Maryland, yep.
Okay, so that will just about do it. Look at us being efficient with our time. Go us.
We have to draft tomorrow, too. Ooh.
Yes, there is the NFL draft in Philly. If Safe was on this, we'd be getting a full-scale preview, but we're not. So we Eagles don't know better what's draft. Going on.
Eagle, here's my little NFL draft thing. If the Eagles have a first-round pick, 14 overall, I say get a wide receiver, Mike Williams. Go with Joe Mixon second round, get a corner third round.
Oh, no, you just said take Joe Mixon.
This is even worse than your Christian McCaffrey take.
No, don't take Joe Mixon.
He's going to be, we're looking at him really seriously, so I think he's going
to
go.
It's one thing for them to take him. It's one thing to actively want them to take him.
Don't worry, he'll be on the Cowboys. oh, somebody's hurt for the Preds. Is that Josie?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. That's not a good...
Philly or someone. Philpa?
Oh, Philpa, that's even worse.
No, not Philpa, it's...
Philpa. He went to the boards. Or
Vernon Fiddler, probably.
Oh, Fiddler. All right, I couldn't tell at first. 56.
Yeah. Before we sign
Kevin
off
Fiala. Here. Kevin Fiala, that's who it was.
Yeah, before we sign off here, Hopkins, Maryland is the same time as Capitals, Penguins on Saturday. So I am going to die.
Oh, well, look, actually, if Syracuse in the ACC tournament, I got the North London Derby and Syracuse in the ACC final back-to-back. God help me as well.
Yeah, I'm going to die on Saturday, so this will probably be my last podcast because I'm not going to make it out of it.
Yeah, Jake will die Saturday. If Syracuse wins Friday, I will die Sunday. Then it's just Chris and Safe in the Philly pod. Is this one other?
God help us all.
Oh, no.
Just one. Yeah, NFL draft for the Jets. Good God, they're going to be 3-13 anyway. I mean, if Deshaun Watson's on the board, maybe go for him. But I don't know. There's so much that the Jets need that whatever. Just go with whatever, I guess. Falag is down on this. Yep. What's up?
I don't care about the NFL draft.
I really don't care too much except for the first round. The rest of the nights, I don't really care at all. I'll just see who the Jets pick and what Syracuse guys get picked. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, NFL overload. I got the NHL. I got the Stanley Cup playoffs. I got the NBA playoffs. I got college across. I don't really need the NFL draft, quite frankly.
Going off that Joe Mixon thing, the Eagles do like him, and also apparently they like Garen Conley, who just got accused of something bad, too.
Wow, so, look at the Eagles going on.
They're
going to
be the Dallas Cowboys.
Greatest division in sports, everybody. So otherwise, yeah, next week we'll recap the ACC and Patriot League tournaments, and we'll get you all set for the other ones. We'll also get you set for ACC Patriot League weekend, ACC Patriot League Challenge weekend, but mainly the conference tournaments. Safe should be back next week, too. He, between his computer and work-related functions, he hasn't been able to join us, so we shall see. We'll find that out when the time comes. Otherwise, follow me at RyanMcD29.
Follow me at CF Jastrzemski.
At ATVS underscore Jake Azar.
At Sexy Time Lax's College Crosses. You can also follow College Cross on Instagram. You can subscribe to the College Crosscast on iTunes and on Google Play, or just check us out on Podomatic. And otherwise, stick with College Cross for all our tweets, all our banter, and all our articles. Check out the comment section as well. Otherwise, enjoy the first weekend of postseason lacrosse.
Stay hydrated.
Bye, Felicia.
And yes, do stay hydrated because that's important and you need to do it at a molecular level.
Especially if you're in North Carolina this weekend.